Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. I invite you to leave your daily burdens at the door. Open your minds and hearts and be fully present for this time of fellowship and spiritual re-energizing. I'm Christy Anderson, the commissioned lay leader of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you by Lois Weir, who is chair of our Sunday program committee.
To light our chalice this morning, I offer you these words from David Breeden. We unite in our differences in background and belief. We unite with gratitude and hope. Hope for a world of differences. Hope for a world that honors difference. We unite in community with gratitude for difference. And we light the chalice this morning in celebration of our theological diversity. As an illustration of the diversity of theological beliefs within UU congregations, we share with you these comments from the Unitarian Universalist Association website offered by UU children in an effort to describe God.
God is anything you want God to be.
It's probably a portable God you can shape to fit your beliefs.
For me, God is a 5-year-old little girl. For my cat, God is a cat.
God is the earth and all spirits, everything, everywhere.
God is all different colors.
God is anything that is mysterious and has remarkable power.
God is like the wind because God is all around.
God is like a car driver because God is in control.
God is like a chair because God makes you feel comfortable and is safe and great.
God is an old man with a white beard who is tall and nice.
God is a big woman who loves us all.
He is a she and a he.
God is the curiosity inside you.
God is a very special person who lives in the clouds and all the dead people are his helpers.
God is a spirit, not a person or an animal.
God is a spirit who looks a lot like Jesus, but not exactly.
There is a God, but he's invisible.
He never lies, he has intelligence, and most of all, he loves me.
God can grant love, but not $1 million.
I do not believe in God. I can think what I want. I don't believe in the devil either.
There are many ways to believe, and every way is okay, even those who don't believe.
So let us celebrate our freedom to speak our own truth. Come, let us worship together.
Let us enter into a time of prayer. We look upon this glorious morning with gratitude. It is one more reminder of the abundant spring season, which arrived earlier than usual, causing us to take greater notice this year of the earth renewing herself. May we feel invigorated as we sow seeds and tenderly commit plants to the soil, living expressions of our hopefulness. Nature's cycle of rebirth is a reminder that we also have the ability to overcome our periods of darkness and again flourish. With time comes healing. This is the season for turning our cheeks toward the sun, setting aside the things in the past that have held us back. Let the gentle breeze shake loose your resolve to plunge into life, to feel, to see, to hear, to inhale the joys of the season of growth. May it be so. Amen. How does Spirit move among us? The late UU minister Forrest Church once commented, "In our circle of faith, when two or more are gathered, a loving argument is the sure sign that the Spirit is moving among us." With this honest appraisal, I approach the idea of highlighting a theological and worship profile of the congregation with both excitement and trepidation. I think that all of us suspect that there's a diversity of theologies characterizing the people in this room, and that we have differences in what we desire from worship and religious education. Yet like our fellow UU congregations, We don't talk much about this elephant in the room. In the early 2000s, the UUA decided that it was important to explore the many attitudes and beliefs of UU members and undertook a three-year study resulting in a report by the Commission on Appraisal entitled Engaging Our Theological Diversity. In 2004, an extensive survey using some of these UUA questions was conducted at this church as part of our planning to select a new minister. I will be referring to both reports to a limited extent when comparing our survey results. A recent survey was compiled, distributed, and analyzed with the enthusiasm and the invaluable help of Lois Weir. It was undertaken with the support of Reverend Melissa and the Sunday Program Committee, with input from Heidi Imhoff, Joe Kummerly, Liz Bright, and Chris Edmonds. Our goal was threefold: to reveal the personal theological beliefs of the congregation, to ascertain information on feelings toward aspects of our worship service, and to gather input for future adult religious programming. We use SurveyMonkey as the survey tool and want to thank the UU group Allies for Racial Equity for allowing us to utilize this very user-friendly instrument at no cost. This project turned into a huge undertaking, as the attitudes and beliefs of UUs are diverse and complex. Our effort to capture and explain our diversity in a meaningful way is like herding cats, but we're going to try. Today, we can only offer highlights. More detailed results will be available at our website, and we'll let you know when they're posted. We hope that this will just be the beginning of the conversation.
We'll talk first about the demographics of the respondents. We were thrilled that 126 adults responded to our survey. And of these, 104 are members and 21 identified themselves as friends of the congregation. Of the 126 respondents, only 25% of them were male. And this concerned us at first, feeling that the males were underrepresented. However, we incorrectly assumed that the ratio of males to females in our congregation was close to that in the general population of about 50-50, but when we looked at the most recent pledge units, we discovered that men represent only 35% of our membership. So although our male opinions are somewhat underrepresented here, it's not as bad as we initially thought that it was. In terms of sexual orientation, and I want to make a clear on these charts, the numbers that you see on the right-hand side here are the numbers of people who responded to that question that way. The percentages are shown on the pie. So of the respondents that took the survey, 81% of them identified themselves as heterosexuals. It's estimated that within the general American population, self-reported heterosexuals represent a range of 85 to 90% of the population. We had assumed that because our church is a welcoming congregation, our survey would reflect a significantly higher percentage of non-heterosexuals compared to the general population. It appears that we are slightly higher, but not too much higher than that of the general population. 41% of the respondents are under age 50, and we had pretty good representation in all age categories, except for those between the ages of 18 and 24. About half the people responding have been attending church for 1 to 9 years, and there was a good spread of people from new attendees to those attending 20 years or more. And some of the trends that Christy's going to talk about later go with time as a UU in this church, as well as age and gender and some of the other categories. 93% of those responding attend worship regularly, and only 8% who responded attend infrequently. And frankly, we were disappointed by this particular result because we were hoping to get more information about those who don't come very often, hoping to get a better understanding of what needs we weren't meeting for them. So that was a bit of a disappointment. The survey revealed a considerable amount of fascinating information, so much, in fact, that we felt bad that the time constraints for this service today were going to limit how much we could share. And in consultation with Reverend Melissa, we decided to share half of the information today and complete our survey profile next Sunday. So today, we're going to focus on our theological beliefs. Next Sunday, in continuing with Reverend Melissa's May theme of curiosity, we'll review the different attitudes that we have about exploring religion as part of our worship experience and with programming outside of worship. We'll explore the challenge presented when creating worship services when some in the congregation are curious about beliefs and practices that really don't resonate with others. And we hope that you'll join, actually it'll be Christy and Trish McLaughlin next week to present part two of the presentation.
Lois and I are members of the Sunday Program Committee, the group that's charged with providing quality worship services in the absence of the minister. When we were considering new members for the committee, Reverend Melissa suggested that the membership represent diverse theological beliefs. She questioned which type of theological representation was needed that wasn't already present on the committee. I looked at the half dozen people on the committee, many of whom I'd known for many years, and realized that I knew a great deal about their personal lives, but I didn't have a clue about their theological beliefs. In preparing for this service, I learned that this is not unique to our church. I've read from a number of sources speculating on the reasons that UUs don't discuss personal theologies much in church. We take pride in our religiously tolerant, one-size-fits-all church, and our politeness guards us against speaking our beliefs for fear of offending someone having differing beliefs. For others, there may be a lack of confidence in their convictions. We acknowledge that truth is not static, and we're open to new insights. So we may have soft theologies as we accept that our beliefs may continue to evolve and change. Possibly for many of us, the need for fellowship outweighs the discomfort of sharing at a deep level and emphasizing differences. So let us proceed forward with open minds and open hearts as we reveal some of our deepest beliefs. Do you believe that human consciousness may exist separate from the physical body? We separated responses by gender, as there's some difference here, with 71% of men, women responding by stating possibly, while men stated possibly 47% of the time. Do you believe there's a master plan that guides our lives? The females are almost equally divided on the question, whereas about 60% of men see this as unlikely. To what source do you attribute evil? Human actions is the explanation cited by 2/3 of women and 3/4 of men as the sole cause of evil. No one chose as the sole reason the result of evil forces. Human action and evil forces together are as attributed to the source of evil, represented about 1/3 of the women and 1/4 of the men. Have you had a mystical experience that had personal spiritual meaning? 2/3 of the women replied in the affirmative, and just under half of the men. This is actually slightly higher than the instances reported in the general population. Which most closely corresponds with your belief about immortality? Respondents were only allowed to select one statement, With regard to the first choice, a person's memory lives on in the minds of their loved ones. Just under half of all female and male respondents selected this statement. Moving down to the next statement. A person's body dies, but a person's spirit or soul lives on. Was selected by over 1 in 3 women, but by only half as many men. Next, the resurrection statement received no responses. A person's soul is reborn into another living being. Was selected by a smaller number. Interestingly, no opinion was selected by about 20% of the men. In addition, 17 people, almost 10%, skipped this question altogether rather than choosing no opinion or other. This question and an upcoming question about the value of prayer had a much larger non-response rate than any of the other questions. There were 20 who added comments. 6 of the commenters used the word energy or sometimes the recycling of energy in a similar manner, and they didn't feel that the choices offered conveyed this belief. About 1/3 felt frustrated because they believed that several statements were possibilities and didn't like being restricted to just one choice. And about 1/3 felt that it's totally unproductive to even ponder the issue as we don't know, which probably explains why so many didn't answer the question. 2 questions inquired about attitudes toward prayer. There were noticeable varieties of opinion expressed by respondents. How often do you pray? The red represents occasionally, which is 48% for females and 42% for men. Notice the differences in the blue areas, representing often, which is much greater for females than males. The green, representing never, was cited by 32% of the men and only 13% of the women. Congregation members who are newer to the church are much more likely to pray than people who have been here a longer period of time. Let me explain. Someone at first service misunderstood and was under the impression that the longer you're here, the less likely you pray over time, and that's not the intent of what we're trying to show. We're showing differences in characteristics between the newer people and people who have been here longer. This slide shows the categories of year and the amount of time people have been attending. If you look at the blue area representing often, you can see that it's larger for those who have started attending in the last 1 to 4 years and generally recedes as you move toward the people who have attended longer. The opposite trend is seen for those answering never. The green area grows as one has attended longer. Similar pattern is revealed when looking at age, with the younger the respondent, the more likely he or she was to pray. We compared the answers to this question with the answers given by this congregation in 2004. You can see that the blue and red areas representing often and sometimes have increased since 2004, and the green area representing never has decreased. It's obvious that we are becoming a more prayerful congregation with the newer people that are joining. To ascertain specific details about our understandings of prayer, 5 different statements about prayer were posed. Respondents could select multiple statements which corresponded to their understanding about prayer. As you'll see, all 5 of the choices received responses indicating a variety of beliefs about prayer, from some finding it meaningless to those who find strength from the practice. Prayer conveys a positive energy which flows through life. Almost every female selected this statement. Praying gives me strength to help myself. Almost half of women chose this statement. Considerably fewer men chose this statement. I pray in order to ask for help for others. About 1 in 4 of both genders selected this. An external source hears and responds to my prayers. Not as many people selected this statement, but for those who did indicate this, 100% of them are people who have attended this church for 9 years or less. There are no real consequences of prayer, therefore there's no point in praying. This statement reveals a significant gender difference, with only 6% of women indicating that there was a point in praying compared to 27% of men. As can be seen, there are obvious differences in our beliefs about a separate consciousness, the concept of fate, immortality, and the meaning of prayer. Differences also characterize our theological influences and self-identified labels. Two questions were asked about personal theology. The first one asked about traditions that influence our present beliefs, with respondents being able to select as many choices as they wanted. This is a UUA question that included predetermined choices. Not surprisingly, Universalism and Unitarian rated high for everyone. Christianity, humanism, and science also rated highly for everyone. Looking at the bottom five options, mysticism, Taoism, Hinduism, Wicca, and Islam, we can see less influence here for everyone. The rankings in the middle showed more influence dissimilarities, in some cases, between genders. When we examine selected traditions in the middle rankings, we see that gender makes a difference. For example, women are much more influenced by earth-centered traditions, Buddhism, indigenous, and pagan traditions relative to men. Atheism is a much stronger influence for the men. In terms of identifying religious influences, the younger adults each chose many different religious traditions compared to the older respondents who chose only one or two from the list. This is probably a reflection of the greater exposure that younger adults have today about different religious traditions and practices, thanks to television, the internet, and diversity in our culture. Additional influences that were noted as comments include my own intuition, ancient Greek philosophy, Shinto, folk wisdom, mythology, popular culture, personal experience, cycles of nature, Asatru, Quaker, secularism, materialism, authoritarianism, as well as, quote, the proud American tradition of watching entirely too much television. The last theological question of the survey asked respondents to select one or two labels that best indicate the viewpoint that comes the closest to representing his or her theology, based again on predetermined labels designed by the UUA. With so many labels to choose from, we had intended to have the definitions included on an insert in your order of service, but discovered this morning that they're not there. So we apologize because it makes it a little less understandable. So next week we'll print the answers to this next question and we'll provide you with the definitions of these labels. I'd like to mention that in 2004, an astounding 44% of the people answering the survey refused to answer this question. With the current survey, only 7 people declined to answer. Apparently, we're much more comfortable accepting labels to describe our theology today than we were 8 years ago. In fact, not only were people willing to accept labels, many complained that they were only able to choose 2. In the comments section, 2 of the respondents noted that it requires 8 different labels for them to describe their theology. This slide shows how often each theological label was selected. Each person, as I said, could make up to 2 selections. So although approximately half of the respondents indicated that humanism reflects their theology, they typically selected a second label as well. All but 11 people chose 2 labels. The top 2 choices of humanism and naturalistic theism were the same for men and women. However, the 3rd most frequently selected label for women is pantheism, but for men, it's theism. Because there are so many choices, we decided to look at just a few of the details for some trends. In this case, we're examining the length of time that the respondents have attended the church. Once again, some differences can be seen. The blue colors, which represent the more theistic labels, are much larger for people who have attended 1 to 4 years, and then decrease as you look at the pies for those who have attended longer. The opposite is true for the pink and red shades, representing humanism, agnosticism, and atheism labels, as the pink and red areas grow by the years of attending, to the point where it's almost an entire pie for those who've attended 20 years or more. Based on the results of the survey, our congregation, with its growth, is becoming more prayerful, seeking more spirituality, which we'll talk about next week, and is moving away from atheism and humanism and more toward a variety of non-traditional theistic beliefs and earth-centered beliefs. The profile and trends portrayed by this congregation are a similar reflection to those emerging within the wider UU denomination, as noted in the Commission for Appraisal report. We can take pride in the survey results, which clearly reveal the many unique, colorful strands which comprise the rich tapestry of this church community. Yet this wide diversity can also be unsettling. Many of us already feel we're on the fringe of society in terms of religious beliefs. We desperately cling to the UU safe harbor. The last thing we want is to feel marginalized within our UU congregation. And yet, the UUA appraisal found just that. Almost all UUs feel like aliens within their own churches. This is not surprising, as none of us belong to a theological majority. Within this faith, it simply doesn't exist. We're all theological minorities. Our differences appear huge, and our similarities are not self-evident. So how do we survive and thrive as a church that honors the pursuit of individual religious identities while still creating a cohesion that binds us with a group identity? UU minister Paul Razor points out, quote, "Paradoxically, many tensions are byproducts of our greatest strengths. We look at our diversity and celebrate that we're living our beliefs, but we practice a theological don't ask, don't tell policy. We need to come out of our religious closets. Why? The importance is cited by many UU writers for a variety of reasons. The Commission on Appraisal report laments that our reticence to discuss theological ideas in depth is a major shortcoming that prompts young adults who grew up as UUs to leave the denomination as adults. According to the report, we offer a strong religious education program to our youth that includes discourse about different beliefs and the tools teaching them to articulate their own theologies. Yet when they become adults, they don't find this level of sharing in the adult church. And the lack of depth and focus, as well as the lack of role models, prompts lifelong UU young adults to leave en masse. A different reason is offered by UU Minister Meg Riley, who believes that as humans, we all yearn to share our deepest concerns and understandings. She notes that most people report that they have very few, if any, people with whom they share life's most compelling mysteries. She claims that it is the mission of a visionary church to offer the opportunity for, quote, full-spirited, embodied contact with one another through the telling of stories that we can't share within any other context. Of course, naming our personal truths makes us feel uneasy. This calls for us to be brave and expand ourselves and our viewpoint. It's hard work to be a Unitarian Universalist. As UU minister Tom Owen Toll declares, we must maintain our doggedness rather than our dogmas. For Reverend Owen Toll, there's a great value gained by examining our theological differences. He reminds us that the important role of, quote, earnest atheists is to labor to rid the globe of intellectual laziness, emotional immaturity, and moral delinquency, pruning, as he calls it, to purify reasonable religion. The agnostics in our midst remind us to be humble and that we can't know and understand everything. And UU believers, who he refers to as affirmatists who speak with tentative assurance, they remind us there are many paths and that we can celebrate ultimate mystery as a treasure trove of insight and direction. We need the gifts offered by all of these perspectives to appreciate the full range of human experience. But to maintain the cohesion of our fabric as a community of worshipers, we must also be ever mindful of the similarities that bind us together. This is essential, for without a common center that gives religious meaning to our efforts, we're reducing the effectiveness of our voice in the world. Without a religious voice of commonality, we're no different than a secular nonprofit group or a political organization. Do the seven principles serve as our source of commonality? Walter Royce Jones, the primary author of the original six principles, commented that when he's on his deathbed, he doubts he'll find solace in having the seven principles recited at his bedside. We must look beyond these honorable principles and lift up our common beliefs about life and humanity.
Will the ushers please come forward? Our seventh principle instructs us to respect the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. Our children learn this in their religious education classes as we care for Earth's lifeboat. Reverence for nature is an integral part of our UU value system. And in that spirit, this month's special offering will go to the Portage Park District Foundation. The Portage Park District strives to be known throughout Portage County and Northeast Ohio as a leader in conservation of natural resources and a major contributor to local communities' quality of life. They work hard towards being a well-respected partner to local communities in promoting and developing new parks and trails and providing recreation and education programs for all citizens. The district cannot function with Portage County funds alone and must rely on public and private donations and grants. Our Hogwarts children have had great learning experiences thanks to the district personnel, as these folks have taken the kids for night walks through the Forbidden Forest, known to the rest of us as Towner's Woods. All of today's loose cash donations will go to the Park District, and if you wish to write a check, just please place it in a pew envelope and designate Portage Parks District on the memo line of your check. The offering will now be gratefully received.
Falwell tries to put us down.
Talking about my congregation.
He won't take it lying down.
Talking about my congregation.
Hank Thoreau is our hero.
Talking about my congregation.
Next to him, Calvin's a zero.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
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 Talking about my congregation. Talking about my congregation.
Open minds, we light our chalice.
Talking about my congregation.
Open hearts, we have no malice.
Talking about my congregation.
Got no creed. dogma.
Talking about my congregation.
We have seven principles.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
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 Talking about my congregation.
You won't find no Bible thumpers.
Talking about my congregation.
Long neck, short hair, put your bald in.
Talking about my congregation.
All together we look for Walden.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about my congregation.
Talking about
my congregation.
Talking
about my congregation.
Talking about
my congregation.
We don't have no Bible school.
Talking about my congregation.
Is our teaching tool.
Talking about my congregation.
Down to earth, never stuffy.
Talking about my congregation.
We get high on fair trade coffee.
Talking about my congregation.
Talking
about my congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about my congregation. Talking about my congregation. Talking about my congregation.
Vegetarian, gluten free.
Talking about my congregation.
Organically grown and non dairy.
Talking about my congregation.
Muslim, Buddhist, liberal, Christian.
Talking about my congregation.
Humanist, atheist, pagan, Wiccan.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about
baby.
My congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
Talking about
baby.
My congregation.
We are gay and we are proud.
Talking about my congregation.
We wear our politics very loud.
Talking about my congregation.
Recycling, don't pollute.
Talking about my congregation.
Ride a bike to Summer Institute.
Talking about my congregation.
Save the whale and save the lion.
Talking about my congregation.
Save us from Mitt Romney's lion.
Talking about my congregation.
My congregation.
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 Talking about
baby.
My congregation. Talking about my congregation.
We extend our thanks to all of you who took the time to offer your honest, thoughtful, and heartfelt responses on the survey. The information will inspire and guide the work of this church in many ways. And above all, we celebrate and honor this wonderfully vibrant church community, which encourages our journey and provides welcome respite along the way. As we celebrate our differences and embrace our unity, let us keep in mind the words adapted from Reverend John Buren's. We join in celebrating one world, one people, one truth, which is love. Go now in peace and love.